Yo, what is guys? It's me, Zach Lee. Welcome back to The Dish. We got some more dirty dishes for you guys to clean up. As always, thank you to our unofficial sponsor, Dawn, for helping us get these dishes clean. You guys go buy some Dawn, tell them we sent you, so they'll hook us up with the bag. We got a couple of co-hosts here, as always. You guys want to say what's up, B-Souls?
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. Let's go ahead and clean these dishes, man.
Back in Dom.
Yo, if you tweet me a picture of you buying Dawn soap, I'll give you the biggest shout out in the world. What's up?
All right. So the first topic we're going to talk about today is against my will. I would prefer not to talk about this. But this was requested by Legend of Trash. Legend of losing.
Hey. He a Laker fan. I have to defend him somewhat.
But topic is, why are the Pistons so trash? 2-8 in the last 10. It's actually a 2-9 in the last 11. No?
They lost the day.
They got blown out. Tough. They got blown out by Larry Nance.
That's tough. That, wearing his dad's number. That's tough. Y'all got beat by a dysfunctional Cavs team. That's tough.
Hey. It happens. It happens.
It happens.
Anyways, what someone's catching a lot of blame for the Pistons' struggle so far is Blake Griffin. Me personally, I'm not putting the blame on Blake Griffin. He's been looking better these past couple of games. All right,
look, what is better? What is better when you're trash?
Look. All right.
He said, "Look 30 times."
First of all, in the loss to Miami, he had 31 points. It was looking really good before he got gassed because we were riding him all night long, playing on a back to back, the fifth game at 7 nights. He got gassed in the fourth quarter. Didn't really do anything that quarter. All right, he had 31 points and like. I don't know the rest of the stats. And then this game against the Cavs. He was literally the only person who did anything. He had like 25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, only 1 turnover. I think he only had 1 turnover in both games too. So the turnovers have been cut down. Been shooting much better from the field. So he seems to be getting more used to his surroundings. That's why I don't get why people are stressing about him going through a rough patch. Like, when a player...
So the last 2 games?
Look,
that's when he's been good.
Look. And he wasn't bad for like the first 4 games either. It was just like the stretch in between then. When he first got traded,
that's a solid 9 games, SDC.
Look. When you first get traded somewhere, the adrenaline and all of the hype of being somewhere new is going to make you play well. And then once it sets in, you
return to normal.
Not return to normal, because what he was doing was not normal. What he was doing was not normal. He was struggling. There's no denying that. Where was I going with this? All right, so when you have a new surrounding, new environment, it's going to take time to get used to that. He was trying to be too passive. He didn't know what he wanted to do. If you watch the games, you could see this. Like, when he would get the ball, he would either get the ball like the last 2 or 3 seconds of the shot clock. I got to take some really dumb shot because Ish Smith literally takes 15 seconds dribbling the ball every time he brings it up the court. Does something stupid. Like, let me get off Ish, but... Anyways, Blake Griffin had been struggling. He's getting better now, but I'm going to pass this off to you. What do you guys think about this before I go anything further?
Dom, you go ahead, bro.
I mean, if I have to be honest and, like, brutally honest, B-Souls, you're not going to like me. I'm taking Zach Lee's side on this one, bro. I don't see why, like, people would stress about a player. A player that was always option A or B on his team for his whole career. He was that guy getting traded to another team, and he's accepting the role of saying, bro, it's your team. I'm just trying to fit in. Yes, he's going to
That's what he literally said from day one. He's like, I don't want them to adapt to me. I want to adapt to them. That didn't work.
And he's coming in with that mindset. Blake Griffin has to come in and be like, okay, I'm Blake Griffin. They want me to be Blake Griffin.
Y'all and then trash. He'll be fine. He needs to say right now.
He's like, want him to be Hito Turk.
Yeah, Drummond, you're all right when you try, but everyone else, trash. Bullock, you can shoot. Trash. Van Gundy, you're fired. That's what needs to happen.
I'm just saying, man, I'm not going to sit there and say that they're trash. I'm not going to sit there and blame it all on Blake Griffin. Blake is just, he's trying to show that he's a teammate. He's trying to win the guys over like that. And, I mean, I guess it works because now they're like, hey, bro, do you. We understand you're for the team. We get it. Woody will now just be you. That's what they got to tell him. Drummond got to take him out to eat, bro. They got to, you know, go out there in Detroit, catch him a couple groupies. But, like, yo, listen, man, you got this. Listen, bro, listen, I'll be Pippen, you be Jordan. God, I made a Jordan goddamn reference. What am I becoming? Anyway, I will be the Pippen to your Jordan, bro. Let's just get these W's. And then Blake can be like, all right, cool. Pass me the ball. We lit. And then the rest is history. But until then, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. Like he said, it happens.
I know he's adjusting, but in that adjustment period, they were struggling. That's the portion of the season we're talking about. And in that portion, he was pretty much the main reason. I would say it wasn't just Blake, but he was a big part of it.
Ish Smith and Stan Van Gundy not having ready. Ish Smith is fine off the bench. That's why I'm not going to bang.
And Van Gundy.
Van Gundy needs to go. He's gone after this year. There's no way this team could be pretty much in the same spot for 4 years and get Blake Griffin to make a playoff push. They don't make the playoffs and he keeps his job. I can't see how that would happen.
Yeah. How do you justify his game against Toronto?
Who, Blake's?
SDC. Yeah. 12 points, 5 assists, 1 rebound, 33% from the field.
I don't know. I can't justify that. I mean, it was a terrible game. It was like excuses. It was an awful game.
What about the one against Boston? 17 points, 26% from the field, 6 turnovers. He had 6 turnovers in 3 straight games.
Yeah, that's gonna come from not knowing your teammates too, though. When you're like trying to get other guys involved, trying to fit in, you make passes that other guys aren't used to getting, and they go like he tried to throw it into Andre a bunch of times, and Andre just wouldn't see it coming and like go out of bounds, or other guys would steal it, or it comes from not knowing your teammates and not feeling.
I've seen it on like firsthand experience. Him trying to do a simple give and go to Ish Smith. And Ish Smith just didn't get the ball because he wasn't used to Blake. And Blake wasn't used to the guy. I mean, Blake literally like set it up for him to hand off, and Ish just didn't take the ball. Like, he wasn't expecting it. Like, I've seen that. So, listen, he's on a new team.
What about the efficiency, bro?
It's Blake Griffin, bro.
Like, that also comes from him trying to play outside of his game. It threw off his rhythm. Like, the past 2 games, he's been more of himself where he's been aggressive. He's like, you know what? I'm the best player on this team. I got to be more aggressive. So that's, and his efficiency has gone up because of that. So I think he was just struggling because, you know, he was trying to fit in too much. He was trying to sacrifice too much of his game. Just like Andrew Wiggins doing for the Wolves.
Guess how that's working out, man.
But
almost out of the playoffs. Let's get it.
Oh, the Pistons are out of the playoffs. That's for sure. They ain't no way we're coming back.
Following each other's footsteps.
As for the bet with Lowe, I don't know how many people heard of it. I guess there was supposed to be some type of a bet where if the Pistons made the playoffs, he'd have to wear a Pistons jersey in a video, and then I'd have to wear a Lakers jersey if they didn't. But Lowe, I know you remember saying this. You called off the bet once the Pistons won their 4th straight game when they got Blake Griffin. You set the bets off because it doesn't count anymore. So you know what? The bet's still off. You called it.
The bet is still off. Wow.
Anyways, though, I don't think we need to talk anymore about that subject. So let's just hop off the bed and onto something good. Anthony Davis had a monster month in February. What was he like? Had like 5 games where he scored at least 40 points. 8 game winning streak right now where he's averaging 37 points, 15 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks, shooting at 53% from the field, 38% from 3. Like, just
it's pretty close to a 50-40-90. That's crazy.
From a big guy, and he's putting up almost 40 points. It's insane. And this has kind of launched him into the MVP conversation all of a sudden. The Pelicans, what, like fifth or fourth out west right now, could easily get up to third because who knows what's going to happen 3 through 8 in the west. What do you guys think about the stretch he's on?
I mean, it's pretty god tier, man. Like, these numbers are insane, but I don't think it's enough to push him to the top of the MVP. He might be top four because of it.
If he keeps this up all the rest of the year and the Pelicans get the third seed, then was that enough?
I mean, the MVP's out. It's a regular season award, but that also means it's for the whole regular season. Like, y'all remember when Russell Westbrook in 2015 was going off with the mask?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was pretty much just the second half of the year after, I believe, he came back from an injury or something like that. But the MVP still went to Curry because he was more dominant throughout the whole season, and Harden followed him. Russ wasn't even top two. So I can't give it to AD, man.
But I think AD has to, because there is no, like, number two. Right now it's James Harden, number two.
I'd say KD.
KD? I give it to AD. I think I give it to AD.
I give it to AD before I give it to KD. I'm sorry.
Because this has been, like, one of the probably drier MVP seasons. No, I don't think anyone really cares.
I mean, I just don't. Like, why would you give it to KD, though?
Best player on the. I don't know.
I mean, but, like.
I mean, I might give it to someone on the Raptors before I give it to KD, to be honest.
But, like, you want to say the best player on the best team, but, like, really, though?
Yeah, besides, I mean, that's
been
team,
the criteria
though.
for the award for,
but like, still, like, but 20 like, years. Really though, like,
I mean, compared to everyone else, it's just like,
I mean, compared to a guy like AD, guys that got to carry more loads.
Yeah, AD can. I can see AD.
I mean, I can just see the argument. Like, I don't. I definitely see James Harden getting it without a doubt because it's just like the longevity of what he's been doing. Unless AD just like puts up insane numbers for the rest of the year and pushes that team to third seed. That's the only way I can see him getting it, and that's the only way I'll vouch for him. Other than that,
you would vouch for him even if he does that.
If he does that,
he should win MVP.
I say he should win MVP if he puts up like monster numbers. Like, I'm like 40 a game, 35 a game. Like, he has to put up monster numbers for the rest of the year, and that team has to stay, like, it has to push the team to the third seed because the race out west is very competitive, 3 through 7. So if you're telling me what AD's doing is contributing them to get the third seed, then I'm giving it to him. Because I was one of the people saying Russ should get it, and look where they're at with him, and because of what he's doing, and look what seed they're at in the West. And the West was, I'm not going to say as competitive, but it's still the West.
But Harden's been pretty much doing that for the whole year, though.
I know, but still, then I'm going to say look at what positions they're in and the same conference, and look at their teams, and compare them to each other. And you'll see that what AD's done to get them there to that point, being third seed, the numbers he's put up, he had to do that by himself. There really was no second other than Drew Holiday, who had to step up because of Boogie being down. So it's not even like, oh, Drew's been this all year. Drew had to step up too, and a lot of guys had to step up. But
AD has still been, AD's been going off, but it's not like he was bad before this either.
Yeah.
But
that's the only way I can see it justified to give it to AD. I'm on Harden.
If the Rockets get the first seed, Harden gets automatically. But if Anthony Davis and the Pelicans get the third seed and Harden falls to the second seed, Warriors get the first seed, I think there's a legit argument. I still I don't know if it's like a legit argument, but
I can see an argument. I can see it.
I personally still give it to Harden just because I can't rob Harden again from the MVP.
I can't rob him. I'm joking.
But
I don't know, man. It's coming to a point where I'm like, low key, James Harden might be close to a unanimous MVP.
Yo,
like that's how I believe the gap is between him and everyone else. Because with AD, I know, like, he's been going off even before this. Like, he was still putting up monster numbers, but there was a period in time where we had Boogie over AD in the MVP race.
That's true.
I mean, Boogie was having a monster year too, but.
Yeah, they both are putting up, like, ridiculous numbers together.
I mean, you had, like, Boogie dropping, like,
40 point, 20 point, 40 point, 20 rebounds. That's what I'm saying. On top of that, you add the fact that he's dominating only half a year compared to Harden. I think the gap is, like, that's a little too wide for me. KD, we already justified that. But, Giannis, you know.
But this is just like the Pelicans. Like, when Boogie went down, no one had them making the playoffs anymore because I think they were like the seventh seed at the time. And like only like a game or two up from being out. I thought everyone was like, oh, yep, their season's over. So like the fact that they might get the third seed now, there's still a lot of time left. And
I mean, if we're going off of that, then give it to Kyrie.
What?
Give it to Kyrie. His second best player has been out since literally the 5 minute mark in the first quarter.
That's a.
And they have a team, but still,
the flaw in that Bezos is you're just going by story. What are the numbers to match that?
25 points, nearly 50, 40, 90, 5 assists. Okay, but compared to
the numbers that he's putting up, and to get them there, are Kyrie's numbers better?
And is Kyrie, Kyrie's story,
I mean, even with James Harden, his numbers are really fucking good. So.
I don't even think Kyrie's story is like when people say that. It's not like he has a Russell Westbrook type story where someone left him and then he's like, you know what, I'm gonna put this team on my back and I'm gonna do all this, still get him into the playoffs. No, he left them and it still went to a really good team.
But his story is still it's unique in its own way because of what happened and because of the situation it was in, because of who the situation was with LeBron James. Like, that's just that. I'm not gonna say rare. I mean, that's rare for a guy to be playing with. Not even arguably the greatest talent of that generation and say, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do this. I mean, I won't say it's rare because, I mean, obviously best center of his generation. Kobe was like, I ain't having that shit. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's rare, but it just doesn't happen. So that when the stories like that happen, it's just, you just glorify, I won't say glorify, you hype it up and you hold on to it because it just doesn't happen like that. And it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about him leaving LeBron. I'm talking about
just Hayward the story with, out. Yeah, the whole Celtics side of it.
Yeah, but like statistical wise, would you say Kyrie Irving's been disappointing this season?
I wouldn't say disappointing. He's playing within the system's way different and way more strict. So, I mean.
But Isaiah Thomas put up 30 points for it.
I mean, but that system was a different system than it is now. When it was just IT and Jay Crowder and them guys out there, that was a different looking team. With Jaylen Brown increasing like he has, and you got Jason Tatum, it's a different look than last year. This team's definitely better than last year's team, to me.
Oh yeah, for sure the team's better, but I just think a lot of people, especially before the season started, were expecting more from Kyrie, especially since he said he wants to, like, you know, we thought he wanted to, like, prove what he could do. And it hasn't been bad. I'm not saying he's been bad. It's just I don't think we've seen.
What has his assist numbers been this year?
I think it's, like, five assists.
But the crazy thing about it, too, is, like, he's only averaging 2 turnovers. That is ridiculously good, considering how he handles the ball and shit. Like, we know how he handles the ball.
Yeah.
The fact that he's only getting 2 turnovers, that's ridiculous.
That is.
I mean,
I won't say disappointing. It's different. He's adjusting to a whole different culture, a whole different way of winning. It's different for him. So I mean, he's not coming in with the mindset to just score all the time. So that I think that has a lot to do with the numbers too. Like, he's not trying to go out there and just score every time he gets the ball. He's playing within the offense, within the system, and whatever comes to it comes to him. When he has to score, he'll score, and he'll do Kyrie-ish things.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
I think with Kyrie, like, people were expecting like 30 points per game, Kyrie, right? Yeah,
I know.
But the thing is, he's averaging 25, and he's only playing 32 minutes. So if he played, you know, extended minutes, he could probably put up to 28, 29. People are expecting from him.
True.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. He's been good, but I don't think he just, like, maybe the hype was just too high for what he was supposed to
be. Because the storyline was fucking amazing.
Like, especially with, like, Kobe Bryant being tossed around in the mix. Like, he got the Mamba mentality. He's doing the same thing that he did with Shaq, Kobe did with Shaq, so.
This is Josh Martin, co-host of Hollywood Hoops. Now, like a lot of you, I've tried a lot of these different meal kit services, delivery services, where they send meals to your house that you get to cook yourself. And every time I run into the same two problems. Number one, I don't eat meat. so my options are usually pretty limited. And number two, it just takes too long to make these meals sometimes. So I've been looking for a solution to that those problems, and fortunately, I found one in Hungry Root. What Hungry Root does is deliver weekly boxes of healthy convenience foods that you can use to make a variety of inspiring, delicious dishes. All their food is plant-based and gluten-free and comes either ready to eat or ready in less than 15 minutes. You can choose to make the dishes according to their recipes or mix and match ingredients for additional flexibility. So Hungry Root offers over 75 dishes that you can make at home, like their fan favorite sweet potato pad Thai or their cult favorite almond chickpea cookie dough, for $25 off each of your first two deliveries for a total savings of $50. Visit www.hungryroot.com and enter the code Almighty, Almighty, at checkout. That's www.hungryroot.com and enter the code Almighty for $25 off each of your first two deliveries.
Think we're expecting something like that. Anyways, back to the Wolves, though. How serious do you think they are? I'm not the Wolves, sorry, the Pelicans. How serious do you think they are in the playoffs? Are they a threat to any teams?
I wouldn't say so. Other than the Thunder. I mean, any team in the West is a threat to the Thunder.
I mean, I could see if they get the third seed, as long as they don't fall to like 7th or 8th, I think they could really beat anyone. Besides, like,
okay, so the third seed right now, they would be facing Minnesota? Assuming everyone else stays the same, they'd be facing San Antonio.
Well, if Kawhi Leonard comes back, I don't give him a chance, but if he doesn't,
even if he does come back, he sat out the whole season. I'm sorry. I don't know what kind of Kawhi I'm expecting. Yeah. We talking about finals Kawhi beating LeBron. Like, he's not gonna be a factor on offense, really. At least he should. I don't expect him to be.
Yeah.
Won't be in rhythm.
But he's either facing Minnesota, San Antonio, or OKC.
Or who?
OKC.
Yeah, I mean, I could honestly see them beating any of those teams. If Anthony Davis plays with this, and then we see playoff Rondo too.
Playoff Rondo.
TNT.
It's a thing.
It is a thing. I can put up the numbers.
But I think they will scare who not scare, but I don't think any team wants to see Anthony Davis in the playoffs, because that's a guy that you can't guard. You can't game plan for Anthony Davis. Can't. There's nothing you can do. You just, you know, just bend over and hope it doesn't hurt.
He said bend over. Wow.
Other than that,
That's true.
Other than that, though, I think honestly, second round appearance is the best we can expect from them. That's,
yeah.
As for, like, what about, does this mean for DeMarcus Cousins next year, though? Do you think that they should still look to re-sign him in the offseason? Because personally, I think with what we're seeing, especially with Anthony Davis, that maybe he's better being the dominant big man without having to share the paint and all the touches with DeMarcus Cousins. They should let Boogie walk. Don't try and re-sign him and use that money elsewhere. Upgrade your bench. You can get a solid 2 to 3 bench players with the money you got to spend to get Boogie.
Yeah, and the thing about Boogie, you don't even know if he's coming back 100%. Right. And he's probably going to ask for a max too.
Yeah.
So that's too much of a risk for me.
What you think, Dom?
Oh, definitely don't resign Boogie, because then he can come to Lakers. So I'm all for him not going back. Works out for me perfectly.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind pissing Boogie on the Lakers. I think that makes the most sense.
Man, I definitely wouldn't either.
I mean, you have him, Julius Randle, Ingram.
Basically the Kings again.
I don't know who that have a shooting guard anymore.
Don't you ever.
Lonzo, Rondo,
wow, you just compared them to the Kings.
Brandon Ingram, Rudy Gay. That's disrespectful. You know?
he said that would be the same as the Kings.
Hot takes.
that's not. The Lakers this year have been better than the Kings have been since, what, like 06?
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You know why? You know why? Because hashtag that ball boy. That's why.
That
ball. Hey, Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle have a lot to do with it, too.
Hey, Julius. Hey, listen, man. I've been a Julius fan since he was drafted. I know he got a lot to do with it. I just like to say Lonzo because, you know, BBB. You got to get the brand name out there. But, listen, Julius Randle, keep him. If we can't get Boogie, I don't see why we don't pay Randle.
Well, you can pay Randle and get Boogie. You can do both.
Well, yeah. If we can, I don't know.
No, you can. It's just they want to. If they move Randle, it'll be so they could get two max players. They don't re-sign him.
But see, that's implying that we don't get. I mean, I'm just saying that's if we don't get PG. Say we get PG, we would have to give up Randle to get Boogie.
Yeah.
See,
I think I'd rather keep Randle, to be honest.
I would too. I'd say, let's go find us a Dwayne Dedman and say, F it. Give me Dwayne Dedman. Give me Boban. Give me a big man who can give me at least 8 points a game. Yeah, and give me some good boards.
You don't even need like a real starting. Like they just need someone like the Warriors had. Lean with a head, Zaza.
Exactly. You just need somebody that fits. You need a system center. That's what
Julius
you need.
Randle.
You need a center, an official system.
I feel like Julius Randle is going to see a lot of minutes going center going forward for this team.
Exactly. If we sign him to that deal, if we keep him, oh yeah, he's getting all those minutes at the four now. He's not coming off the bench. He's not splitting them with nobody. I mean, granted Kuzma, but then Kuzma can definitely get all those minutes off the bench. So, yeah, it works out.
Yeah, for sure.
So then just go, like I said, get you Boban, get you Dwayne Dedman.
They need a shooting guard.
Go to the D League and get whatever center's getting the most rebounds and blocks. Exactly. That combination.
Boom. They need to find a shooting guard.
Or to the D League.
Find it. Jesus Christ, the D League. Go find the next Hassan Whiteside. Do that. Go get Dexter Pittman.
Easier said than done.
Just go find them.
Go find Dexter Pittman. See if he got some juice left.
That's what the Pelicans thought they were doing by getting Ogemeka Okafor back out the D League.
Jesus.
Loki worked. Hasn't he been good?
I don't know. He's been good. I don't think he.
I haven't been watching the Pelican games.
Let me see. What's he been? I don't think he's been good.
I don't even think he's been solid.
He's been productive.
Productive.
Really?
Let's see. 4 points, 5 rebounds in 15 minutes per game.
Okay.
Almost 2 blocks too. So.
So yeah, he has been productive. Okay,
Ben
Mecca?
Wallace.
This dude
Ben
is 35.
Ben Wallace.
Yo, Mecca,
he said Ben Wallace louder.
35.
Yeah, Mecca's old, bro.
I didn't think he was.
That's a bust if I ever saw him.
I didn't think he was that. I thought maybe like 32 or something.
Nah, man, he old. Wearing SpongeBob jerseys.
Wow, that makes it more embarrassing.
Anything for the bag.
Yo, 35 in the G League.
How did he feel?
He was playing against kids who were. He was twice as old as some of the kids.
He probably played against some kids that he gave autographs to at one point in time.
Hey, yo, Wameka, remember?
You saw my shirt at the Bobcats game. Like, what?
Remember those days?
Bobcats.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. We're not about to put the Bobcats in the deep fryer, bro. Chill.
Bobcats, yo. That's the worst name for a
The Bobcats.
I can't imagine being drafted by the Bobcats.
Kemba Walker.
Yo, that must be the most depressing time of your life.
Kemba
can't even
Walker.
Be excited
Sorry,
about going to the NBA.
I can't wait
to be a Bobcat.
They were doomed ever since they made that their name.
Exactly. They were cursed from the start.
Yeah, but anyways, how do we get to talking about Emeka Okafor? Oh, you're talking about getting Hassan Whiteside.
Yep.
Man.
Well, the next Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, right. The next Hassan Whiteside. Anyways, though, I guess this is a good time to move over to our next topic. The Minnesota Timberwolves. They are in trouble. They lost Jimmy Butler. He's going to be out for basically the rest of the regular season, it looks like. It started off fine. They won their first two games on him, but now they've been losing. Let me bring up standings real quick. I know what Beasol is going to bring up.
What? What did I do?
What you mean, what you do? I can just feel it. So I think they're 6 in the West right now. They're 6. Yeah. No, 5th in the West. 5th. 38-28, but only a game and a half out of the 8th seed. 2 games out of the 9th seed. And the Clippers have been playing really well. The Nuggets have been playing really well. The Thunder, they're going to make the playoffs. The Spurs, they're going to make the playoffs.
The Lakers have been playing pretty well.
Yeah, the Lakers have been playing pretty well, but that's a lot of ground to make up.
Hey, man, one win streak. All them teams are within one game of each other. They all start taking L's against some teams in the
East. And the Clippers have been playing really well. Then I can take L's. Nuggets are going to take L's. Thunder are going to take L's here and there, but enough to keep in the playoffs. The Spurs are the Spurs. Mm-hmm. The Wolves, though, that's a huge question mark. They lost their last two games. Let me see what their schedule looks like for the rest of the season.
Oh, I think they have a pretty tough stretch, I'm pretty sure. Like the next four games they're facing.
Yeah, they play the Celtics next. They play the Celtics, Warriors, Wizards, Spurs, Jesus, Rockets, Clippers. Then they probably get a break with the Knicks, and then there's the Sixers, Grizzlies, Hawks, Mavs.
Wait, whose schedule is this?
This is the Wolves.
The Wolves. Oh yeah, baby. They're out of there. You're out of there.
These next 6 games are about to be real rough.
Yeah.
And listen, we have 10 less wins than them. Let's say they lose what? They're losing 7 of those.
The other next 6 games, they're losing at least 4. I can guarantee 4.
So out of the next 10, 7 games.
Maybe all 6. Honestly.
A team with 2 number 1 overall picks, y'all don't have a lot of confidence in them, man.
I could see them. The Wizards and the Spurs are their only chance right now to beat, I'd say.
Wizards. Who did Spurs. You just say to me, B-Souls? You said Taj Gibson who's starting to pull shots because he's seen Boogie do it. You said Jamal Crawford, who just comes off the bench and shoot.
They have a lot of talent. Chill out.
You're right. Let's see how that talent does without Jimmy Butler. And that hurts me to say.
Honestly.
You're telling me Wiggins with more opportunity.
Hyping up Wiggins right now? Oh my God. The hell is cold. It's cold in hell.
Wiggins with more opportunity. Cat in what, his third year? And you add those pieces. They have more experience. Why can't they make the playoffs?
Because they can only win possibly 6 of their last games. They only have.
And why is that?
Because the only teams I can see them beating. Are the Grizzlies. They play them twice. The Hawks, the Mavericks, and the Knicks. Actually, that's only 5. Yeah,
that's tough.
That is tough.
Is the standard really that low for Wiggins and Kat now? See those teams are just like, oh, without Jimmy Butler, they can't win.
I mean, that's what they were last year. So, I mean,
With Jimmy Butler, they were pretty much a lock to make the third seed look like, and now they might miss the playoffs in a month. That's crazy. Low key, this team might be cursed.
It's that Tibbs plus Timberwolves curse, man.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau might be cursed for sure. Because that's tough.
You had 2 curses at once. I think that was going to work. Come on.
But if they do miss the playoffs, what do you think happens to this team? Do you see some big change coming?
I think
they might have to. First off, I can for sure see them shopping around Wiggins in the offseason.
Didn't he just get his max contract?
I mean, mm-hmm. So did Blake.
That is true.
That's true.
And I don't think any team wants him. I don't think it would be impossible to trade him. That's for sure. I know some teams will trade for him. So it's just what their asking price would be. What do you get for Andrew Wiggins? If you're trying to compete now,
hear me out. Wiggins and someone else for John Wall.
Wiggins and Jeff Teague for John Wall.
Look, man, Wall, I think they reached their peak with Wall. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think they can get better.
Unless you want to move Otto Porter Jr., which I'm not doing anymore. Before the season, I would say, yeah, I'd move him, but now no.
But if you get
the problem with that is, what's your line gonna look like with Wiggins and Otto Porter? You moving Beal to one? What's the moves?
I guess you can run Porter.
Porter at the Otto four.
Another guy that I think could low key is Damian Lillard, because the Blazers are another team that might have reached their peak. They're good. They're a good team, but I don't see how they get that extra piece. They need that extra guy.
What about Kemba in Charlotte?
He's
not good enough.
He's not good enough. He's not gonna push them over the edge.
Dude.
I mean, they need that like surefire Damian Lillard, John Wall type. And I think Damian Lillard, obviously I take him over John Wall.
Damn. Wall has fallen off like our ranking since last year.
He's been battling knee injuries this year, so I don't want to say he's completely fallen off, because I think he'll bounce back next year.
But even with our perspective, I feel like his numbers don't look as impressive as they did last year. Yeah. Even if you look at his numbers from last year.
The playoffs, they were amazing.
Yeah, they were fucking...
Until the last game against the Celtics.
Yeah, but I feel like his skill set is it's coming out that he's not really a good shooter. You know, his defense is kind of a little bit overrated. That's hurting him a lot. Yeah, and he has a lot of turnovers with those assists too. Mm-hmm. And the fact that his teammates can't survive without him, they're doing pretty good right now. So,
okay, I said this about Blake Griffin, but I don't know why I see John Wall getting to the Pistons over the offseason. I don't know why. I don't know how I feel about
John Wall and Blake.
I don't know how I feel about that, because there would probably be Andre Drummond that gets traded to the Wizards, Andre Drummond. I'm just saying, this is what I feel like that's going to happen, and I feel like it's not going to work out either.
You know what I can see happening?
What is that?
If you were to make that trade, I see you keeping Blake and Drummond. How? And getting John Wall.
How does that work?
Hear me out.
Stanley Jones.
John Wall. See, you, and that's what I'm saying. Y'all trade a boatload of niggas. Y'all pull a Melo to New York type deal. And y'all trade Stanley Johnson. You got your team in the offseason to get
Luke
John Kennard, Wall.
Stanley Johnson, Reggie Jackson, all gone.
Is he worth it?
What?
Hey, man.
John Wall?
Is he worth that? Gutting your team?
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing with the Wizards is they have their bench play. They always want to improve their bench play, and they're showing that. I mean, they're still a good team without John Wall. So why would you have to go get a guy like Drummond?
But the spacing with John Wall, he can't shoot.
Who are you saying?
I'm talking about the Pistons more. Do they need John Wall that much?
I don't think they need John Wall that much. If it was for Damian Lillard, then I'd say give up whatever you can.
Damn.
But even that, I can still see that.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad if we traded Drummond in a package for Lillard, because I think Lillard and Blake could be.
Do you think the gap between Wall and Dame is really that big?
Yes.
That's easy. Wow.
I mean, just in today's NBA, Dame is a much better type of player, because he obviously has the range. He still, makes plays for his teammates, but he's not completely dictating everything like John Wall does.
That's true.
He can play off the ball.
Yeah. His playmaking is pretty underrated, too.
Yeah.
He's almost averaging, seven assists.
Yeah, yeah. This year. So, he does, outside of, making, extremely flashy passes, and I guess defense, he's better at everything than John Wall.
That's a pretty big part of the game. Defense and passing.
But compared to being able to play off the ball, shooting, you can maybe even argue leadership wise he's better. I'm sure John Wall's leadership has to be questioned now, since obviously the Wizards don't need him to win.
They're not even on the same page.
Whereas if Damian, like in Lillard, locker room. If Damian Lillard went down for like 2 months with the Blazers, they'd be screwed.
That's true.
That's true. That's very true.
So I think Damian Lillard is a much more important player to his team than John Wall, which makes him better. So what do you? Let's talk about John Wall for a bit, though. Do you think he's actually going to get traded this offseason?
Depending on the deal.
Yeah, depending on who's available.
Like, if you're the Wizards, what are you looking for?
Honestly, just a boatload of young pieces.
Exactly. You're looking to gut a team.
Yeah, but not too young, though, because I feel like they still have Beal and
you just get... I feel like you go to a team like... Nah, I wouldn't say the Spurs, but... You go to a team that got a lot of expendable not expendable pieces, but they got talent. You go to a team that got that's deep, a deep team, and gut them for players and just make your team deep.
I would say the Pelicans, but they've already been gutted.
I'm about to say, can you gut that?
What about the Nuggets?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Look at the Nuggets. Maybe you could get... Well, Bradley Beal can realistically play point guard, right?
I mean, maybe
from time to time,
he's been facilitating the offense. So if you could get a guy like Gary Harris, and then some, I don't know, like you look at like Trey Lyles and like a bunch of good guys, you know.
But the thing about the Nuggets, though, like I know John Wall is better than Harris, but I feel like
I don't think he would Harris work there.
And Murray, I feel like their future is pretty bright.
Yeah, I don't think the Nuggets would. I don't know if he would mesh well with Jokic either. Since Wall is such a ball-dominant point guard.
Yeah.
So, honestly, the market for John Wall is
pretty trash.
Orlando.
Low-key.
But they're going after Trae Young, though.
That's the thing, too. They can just draft the point guard.
But if
they're going after Trae Young.
But if they know John Wall is available to them, like the Wizards come up and say, we can give you John Wall. And then they can go out and get someone else and have John Wall with that other guy, too. It depends on...
Or hear me out. If I'm Washington, do everything in your power to trade for the Magic's pick, man. John Wall for that pick. You draft Trae Young.
If Orlando did that...
In the capital?
You draft Trae Young with Bradley Beal. You got the East Coast version of the damn Warriors at the birth. Listen, man. Listen, man. All I know is you get that. You draft a guy just to play defense and rebound. You get your version of a Draymond Green. Why not, bro? Why not? You go to the Magic. You tell them, bro, listen, we'll give you our pick, our next year's pick, if you get and John Wall just for your pick this year and the expiring contract. What's good, bro? Come on. They'd be like, bet, we're the Magic. Why not?
Bet.
We want to get finessed. You draft Trae Young? I don't see that failing. Unless Trae Young's trash. Turns into the next Jimmer Fredette. Then, I'm sorry.
Wow. But I can see Orlando trading for John Wall easily. I can see them giving up. I don't know who else along with Aaron Gordon. I don't know who else. What else do they have? Maybe you take like
Jonathan Isaac.
I mean,
why not? He plays D.
Barely play, period. He's been injured.
Hey, he came back in. Hey, listen, bro. He had 5 deflections, bro.
5 deflections. Advanced stats. At
he had 5 deflections, bro. And 1 3-pointer in OT.
This is kind of off topic, but I just wanted to ask y'all, who do y'all think the defensive player of the year is?
Who do you think what?
Wait, what? You cut off for a second.
Who do you think the defensive player of the year is this year?
Maybe KD.
Because I don't think it's Paul George. Because I feel like
KD.
He's not even the... When Roberson was there, he wasn't even the best defender on his team. And then when Roberson left, like, he couldn't even pick up the slack at all. They have one of the worst defenses in the league now. Or ever since Roberson left.
Yeah, I think I might give it to KD, to be honest with you.
KD with the defensive player of the year.
I mean, it hasn't... Who
LeBron's
else?
LeBron's never done that.
I mean, who else do you give it to?
I was thinking Clint Capella.
Give it Capella, maybe. Clint Capella?
Because I feel like last year their defense was so sus. Now they're top 10, and that's
that has like to do with like a bunch of guys, not just Clint Capela. You look at PJ Tucker, like Bahamute, has been good for them.
That's true.
Defensively,
too. That's true.
Even Chris Paul is, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I mean, Clint Capela
might be just, KD.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because outside of him, I can't think of any, like, award wise, this is gonna be such a dry year because there's like no arguments to be made outside of maybe rookie of the year.
Is that even
argument? Even that, yeah.
I mean,
like, Ben Simmons is kind of separating the gap a little bit.
I mean, it's
closer than any other award.
Gap's real narrow.
No, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, not real Ben narrow, Simmons, it's closer more than narrow. Whoever is closer to James Harden in the MVP
Julius
race.
Julius Randle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So KD, Don? Is he going to KD?
Yeah, I give him that. He can definitely get defensive player of the year. His defense has really improved playing with the Warriors, which it had to because, you know, he had to do something other than try to score. So I'm glad he actually bought into their system and playing defense.
I remember when he first went there, that was a huge question. Like, what about their defense?
I feel like the big candidates for defensive player of the year, they're like all injured. Kawhi, Chris Paul, like early in the season. Rudy Gobert, too. So, I thought Giannis was going to be one too, low key, but I don't know what happened with him.
He had to start carrying a lot of slack offensively.
What's good, y'all? This is your boy Justin, aka Just Blaze, host of Above the Rim. And if you want a raw take on the NBA, Above the Rim is a show for you. With dope beats and entertaining guests each week, we offer a great new insight on all things NBA. You don't want to miss it. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Almighty Baller Network.
So, man, guys like that, they never want to do the play.
Remember, Giannis was like the runaway MVP for like the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, y'all were like, oh, it's going to Giannis.
It's his ear.
How was it not Giannis?
it was. He was MVP for 10 games.
Yeah, he was putting up ridiculous.
Ooh, defense from Lonzo and a three ball. I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys when I watch the games.
Oh, Lakers are playing right now, right?
Yep.
Playing
the fight to get in the playoffs, man.
Oh, but they're going up against the Blazers. The Blazers have been playing really well lately.
Hey, man, if we could beat them, that only adds to my case if we're getting AC.
Yeah, if the Lakers beat them, you know.
I mean, we already beat the Spurs. Yeah. Just saying.
That was like the one that was like, all right, maybe this win streak is something a little more legit.
And we came
because
back.
Before that, it was what? Like the Kings?
It was
Suns
trash
and,
teams.
Like the Hawks.
Well, teams, we need teams, like games that we knew we had to win. Like games we knew, like, those are games. Those are our games. But that Spurs, I wrote us off. And you don't understand how proud I am of this Lakers team for winning that game. Because I wrote us off. I was like, okay, we're going to pack it in. Let the young guys play. It's a development game. We're competitive, but we don't got this. And that boy Lonzo just said, you know what? No. I'm going to embrace my inner Kobe and say, this game is not over. And smack these threes. Lonzo's the only guy I know with the ugliest jump shot that don't do nothing but shoot threes. All his shots made in that game were threes. He was 6-12 from the field. And only six shots he made were from the three-point line. I love Lonzo so much. Lopez, and he misses. Yep. Can't wait for Brooke to be gone.
Yo, Lakers fans, when I said, like, when I didn't really say they got Brooke Lopez back in that D'Lo trade, I was like, that's really nothing because he's going to be there. I remember back at the beginning of the season, Lakers fans got so mad. Like, what you mean? He's so good. He's part of our future. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Top 10 center? What?
I was like, yo, realize.
He's a bucket.
Game scorer?
He's a bucket. I was one of those guys, so I came to laugh. Brooke's 20 points per game? Pair that with Lonzo? It's a bucket. Easy.
I don't know where Brooke Lopez is going to end up this offseason, to be honest.
I mean, the Warriors?
For like, the minimum.
Is Robin better than Brooke now?
Loki. Nah, I wouldn't say that.
It depends on what you want.
Why not?
Depends on what you want. You want defense?
I mean, exactly, because Robin is nothing on offense, so.
I mean, what is Brooke, like 14 points?
I mean, so that's better than 8.
He's 11 right now.
11?
Yeah.
11 beats 8.
11 points. Your starting center is not even getting you 4 rebounds a game.
Listen, all I know is he. Thank you. Like, he's a small forward. I've been calling him a small forward all year.
Yo, he's a shooting guard. What do you mean, Brooke, small forward?
Oh no, I thought we were talking about Brooke. I've been calling Brooke a small forward.
I'm talking about Brooke. He's a shooting guard.
Yeah, no, he's not a shooting guard. Chill.
He's a 7-foot shooting guard.
What kind of Yo, I'm literally watching him play defense. He watched Nurkic come down court. He grabs him and just lets him do a post move and then puts his hands up. He just had his hands on his hip the whole time. Like, what kind of fucking defense is this? Like what is this?
Off the court. That's why you don't need to play no more.
Zubac, please get in the game. And there goes KCP with another mid-range shot. Where's that defense, though? You know, now if listen, bro. You know what? I'm not going to get on my Lonzo stuff, man. I don't want to be that guy. I'm not trying to be Lonzo's Nick Wright, man. Dame don't foul, bro. Dame, get big, bro. That's a real point guard right there. All 6'6" of them. I'm sorry.
Point guard?
He's the most truest point guard I've ever seen since Rondo.
Yo, I saw that shit on Twitter. They were like, I'd rather take Lonzo over Kyrie. He's a better true point guard. Oh, my God.
What?
I fucking hate y'all,
Lonzo is the truest point guard since Rondo. I don't care what nobody says. I haven't seen as much hype around a point guard that don't score since Rondo, bro. Like, I swear, like, think about it. When was the last time there was a guy it's not like he doesn't have a jump shot. He just doesn't score as a point guard, but he passes great. He plays good defense, and there's just a lot of hype around him. People like to see him play.
I'm not going to lie, bro. Back in 2012 when I was 12, I was using that same argument. I was like, but who's a better true point guard, though? I'm like,
Bezos know he used that true point guard argument.
People are saying, like, Chris Paul's averaging, like, 9 assists and putting up 20 points.
Nah, bro.
Come on now. Who's a better true point guard? You know, come on. He's a scorer.
If you score more than 10 points per game, you ain't a real point guard.
That's too many buckets. Ooh, Brooke with the fader, and he missed.
Oh, Luol Deng's active again for the Lakers.
Jesus Christ.
Y'all hear that Luke Walton said he's still a good basketball player.
Saying it out of respect.
If he was still good, you'd be playing him.
They didn't let Lonzo play D, man. That's 2 fouls already. We're home. Come on, refs. Luke, don't get teed up, dog. Don't get teed up, man. Don't do it, bro.
Hey, that means Isaiah Thomas gets to come in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Loki, he's been better.
The lack of confidence.
I mean,
better.
That's not saying much, but it's only been like 2 games where he's been better.
Better, yeah.
Oh, but when is Blake? Let me chill.
I mean,
the same 2 games.
That's what I'm saying.
Hashtag exactly exposed.
No.
Put that on the pod, bro. We're not cutting that out. It's different
because Isaiah Thomas was trash.
It is different.
Hashtag exposed exactly in effect.
Isaiah Thomas has been trash all season, though.
He said, but when it's Blake. Them 2 games are a lot different when it's Blake.
Isaiah, you know what I mean. Isaiah Thomas has been trash.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
Uh-huh.
You like Blake.
Hey.
I remember I was watching like your video 2 days ago. You went over that Pistons part really quickly. I was like, oh, okay.
Which one was that?
Casually blown out by 20. Okay.
Yeah. Man. All right. But I guess.
Speechless.
Hey, leave my Pistons alone. We going to be good. We going to be good one day.
All right, bro.
Just give us another 5 years.
Jesus.
2014.
Luke Kennard will be near his prime. Prime Kennard? Loki.
Prime hey, Kennard.
I don't want to hear once Luke Kennard hits his prime and he be tearing up the NBA.
Oh my god. Wanna... You mean tearing up the B League?
Nah, he gonna be a baller.
In the B League. Robert Sacker.
I mean, every rookie that SBG doesn't play turns out to be great. On some other
team. Give me some examples.
On some other team.
Yeah, I'm going to need some examples.
Chris Middleton.
I'm going to need some examples.
Chris Middleton, number one. Now Spencer Dinwiddie.
All right.
Then.
Oh, you said Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
I give it up.
Oh, that's true.
And Luke Kennard. I've seen the flashes when he plays, but he doesn't get to play. They play Langston Galloway over him, and Langston Galloway don't do nothing.
SEC, you said two players, bro.
Hey.
That's not valid.
We didn't have our first round draft pick 1 year.
But you said all the rookies.
He said as a third player, Luke Kennard.
It will be Kennard.
Okay, so feeling... who's the fourth?
No, SVG is going to be gone, so he won't be able to do that.
But you said all the rookies SVG's coached that hasn't played turned out good. You said two players.
Yeah, because the other ones got played. They didn't turn out good.
So why didn't you just say both the players that SVG didn't play turned out to be good? You said all the players, like it was a big list, like it was a big sample size. This nigga gave me an IT height level of examples. And look at this shot IT puts up. What is this?
Chris Middleton. Bro,
y'all don't understand how... Listen. I'm sorry. I don't want to keep bringing this back to this Laker game. But y'all understand how pissed I get watching IT play for us. Because he just wants money in the offseason. He just shoots anything. Any shot is a good shot. It's like watching a smaller J.R. Smith. It's terrible. A
smaller J.R.
Yeah, that's terrible, bro.
It is terrible.
I'm sorry.
Good pass, IT. And that black hole named Randall. Buckets. Let's get it. All right. Sorry.
Low key.
No. You hear low key some blasphemy about to be spewed next.
I'm just looking at the Blazers roster, and this trade's going down over the summer. We're giving them Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Stanley Johnson, or Luke Kennard, or Damian Lillard, Yusuf Nurkic, and we're taking a bad contract off their hand. That's what's happening.
If the Blazers third seed this year, I don't think they'd want to shop then.
Well, how do they get better? How do they get better?
If they're a third seed this year?
How do they get better? How do they ever get better?
Well, taking off Dame and adding Andre Drummond is not really, you know.
I mean, but then you get those pieces back, plus you don't have Nurkic. You don't got to pay him because you got Drummond.
And then we take you go find you another guard.
Yeah, you go find you a good guard. Now you're in the race for IT.
They don't even need a good guard. They just need a good wing. They have McCollum, Drummond, and they just need a wing.
Low-key, McCollum could play the one.
I feel like McCollum could play the one.
But Dame's coming to Detroit to team up with Blake Griffin. Confirm, you guys heard it here first.
If that actually happens, that's kind of scary.
It's happening.
IT is guarding Evan Turner. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that or getting Isaiah Thomas, one of the two. So
one of the two.
Really good or really bad?
It just sounds like it's meant to be. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah Thomas.
He was about to come to Detroit when last time he was a free agent.
See? It's
meant to be.
It's meant to be.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be, bro.
Just give him the max. Y'all need a point guard anyways.
Give him the max.
Just let Reggie Jackson go somehow. Give him the max, bro. Hey, give him every penny.
Even though Reggie Jackson's stats aren't good, we're a good team when he plays.
Jesus. All I'm saying is with IT, if his money isn't taller than him, it's not enough. That's all I'm saying.
If his money taller than him. That's not saying much. You have a roll of quarters.
Jesus Christ.
A roll of quarters.
I'm sorry. An extra big roll of quarters. Come on, bro. Don't be disrespectful.
Three rolls.
Low key?
You gotta use a step stool when you go to the bank to see over the counter.
He has a booster seat on the bench. Yo, what the fuck?
Didn't like LeBron take that away from her or something one game? Pretty sure, like,
why the hell? He is a grown man with a booster seat on the bench.
He actually has one?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my.
He pulls it out at Laker games. I've seen it. He just sits on it so he's level with everybody else. It's so sad.
You need that. What was, it? Phil Jackson who had the, like, the extra big chair?
Yeah.
You need that Phil Jackson chair. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of The Dish. Hope you guys cleaned all of your dishes. Hope you ate up what we spat out, because we spat out some semi-facts this time. Can't say everything was 100% fact, especially when people were talking about bad about my Pistons. But as always, Don, hit us up with a sponsor. NBA Live, hit us up with a sponsor.
Jesus.
Flight, you trash. LSK, hey. You call for no reason.
Hey!
Deep fryer.
Get him. Cash Nasty, hey, you're trash.
How come NBA Live doesn't have a... Where's the NBA Live League at?
Nigga, what?
The NBA Live League to compete with the 2K League.
Let's fix their gameplay first. Thank you. Hold on.
Can people play their game before they make a league for it? I don't even think they have enough... Would anyone want to go pro in Live? Is that worth it? Can they pay people enough? I think you make more at McDonald's than playing pro at Live. What?
I would give it a shot. If the bag's
yeah,
big
the
enough.
G League. There you go.
If the well, bag's big enough.
If the bag's big enough. What?
It's not.
They can't even constantly make two of them damn games in a row. You think the bag's going to be big enough? You can't even get two constant lives, and you talk about the bag's big enough.
Next live coming out 2024.
Jesus Christ. We gotta get LeBron James Jr. on it.
They already announced him as a cover athlete.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think LeBron would let that happen to his son. He'd be like, nah, that ain't a good look.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that to my son. That's sad.
Oh, anyways. As I was saying, that's going to do it for episode, like I was saying before we started roasting live for a little bit there. B-Souls, you want to say goodbye?
All right, thank y'all for coming out for this week's episode of The Dish. I hope y'all like what we spat out, you know. Blake Griffin, you're trash.
Chill. All right. And then Dom.
Thank you guys coming out for episode 15, man. I appreciate you guys being here. Mello, your ass. Lonzo, you're the GOAT. Hashtag expose B-Soul's video coming soon. And add me on Snapchat.
Wait, what?
Boom.
Expose B-Soul's video.
Yep. Hashtag expose B-Soul's. Matter of fact, since we throwing out the hashtag, listen, man. Everyone out there, I need your energy. Everyone, whenever you feel the need, go on Twitter and use the hashtag expose B-Soul's and tag me in it. And I want to see the best expose moments. Wait, why, of B-Souls that you have.
Why is B-Souls getting exposed?
Because he is a Wiggins hater, and he's gonna this Wiggins hate is just gonna stop. All right, so you guys go over to Twitter literally as soon as you hear this, as soon as you hear my sexy voice command you, go give me an exposed B-Souls and just give me some sexy fact about Wiggins. We're gonna see how many times we can piss B-Souls off. Let's get it.
He said a sexy hat. I mean, wow.
This anyways, DC doesn't even know what to say.
I didn't. That was an interesting outro. But I guess don't forget to expose Beast. And no, expose that man legend of winning.
No.
Yo, I'm retweeting everyone that exposes legend of winning. Retweet. Free follow,
clout. Free clout.
Retweet
free
and clout. For anyone that exposes legend of winning on Twitter. You know, just tag me, tag Low, expose him.
You know, tag me too. Fuck that. I want to see it. Tag all of us. Tag the whole dish. We got to see this.
Yeah, put Low on the deep fryer.
The funniest expose gets a shout out from everyone on the dish. How about that, guys? Can we agree on that? The funniest Low one gets a shout out. Gets a follow from all of us and a shout out.
That's a bet.
Can we all agree to that?
I'm
down. Boom. Yeah, so, that's verbal agreement, man. Y'all better get on it.
Don't forget to tag him. It's at Legend of Winning.
So and you gotta add all of us too.
Yeah. I'll be waiting to see those. So
only the real ones gonna hear this too. So the real fans is gonna do this. That's funny.
Lil's just gonna get his notifications blown up by a bunch of roasts.
I wonder how many Legend of Dum Dum ones we gonna see.
Hey, be creative. Don't Legend of Dum Dum is you know.
Yeah, that's old. That's old. That's old. Yeah, yeah, that's old.
I mean, if you
can, you know, you gonna
it,
see a few.
You can use it, but you gotta add something to it.
He said you can use it. Don't get me wrong. It's still funny.
Yeah, mix it up a little.
Spice it up.
But yeah, do that. But I guess that's gonna end this episode. Peace. Legend of Winning Your Trash.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.